longtime favorite Christian hymn, expresses a truth in these words: "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one." That's absolutely right. There's no friend in all the world like Jesus. Thanks for being a loyal listener to A Word Between Friends, a special 5 to 7 minute monthly audio feature of Gospel Gazette Online. We hope this effort is a blessing to you, especially as you meditate upon the most challenging and vital matters of life. That is, those pertaining to one's spiritual health and eternal destiny. I would like to add a special word of appreciation to Lewis Rushmore, the editor of Gospel Gazette. Personally, I appreciate the effort that he and his wife Bonnie have put into this magazine over the past 10 years. Further, for the benefit of our listeners, I would like to remind you that there are 10 years worth of articles that are archived and may be found for research on various biblical topics of special interest. You may click on a given month an article, or you may find something more quickly through use of the search engine. During the past year or so, we've been focusing our attention on Jesus, the Son of God. In those historic days when Jesus graced our earth with his physical presence, it was acknowledged as John penned these words in chapter 21 and verse 25. And I quote, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that should be written." That's taken from the King James Version. My friend, John was not using the tool of exaggeration in that statement about the world being unable to contain the books that should be written about Jesus, the Son of God. As we approach nearly 2 millennia since his return to the Father, there is still so much that may be written and told about the greatest person to ever live on planet Earth. While John indicates the content of the Holy Scripture is somewhat limited, there is far more than adequate material revealed through the Holy Spirit of God to produce faith in our minds and point all of us in the direction of eternal life. John wrote at the close of the preceding chapter in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Again, I quote, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." God, who has revealed himself in the pages of the Holy Bible, is the source of life. The Father in heaven is all about life, including abundant life in the present time and eternal life in the future. May we never doubt God's intense desire for you and me to experience the wholeness and well-being inherent in life. In contrast, God's adversary, the devil, is not about life, but rather he is about death. The thought of your death and mine gives him great pleasure. The only thing that would exceed that pleasure would be the reality of his thought. That is to see his aspirations fulfilled. Satan's vote is in favor of our loss of well-being, peace of mind, and spiritual life. In the gospel narrated by John in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, as we read a moment ago, there is an obvious association between the faith of Jesus Christ and the life God wants all of us to partake of. There is so much at stake centering in the person of Jesus, the Son of God. It is clear, through Jesus' teaching and other of God's messengers, that you and I cannot experience spiritual life apart from a proper response to God's only begotten Son. Let me restate that for due emphasis. You and I cannot, you and I shall not experience spiritual life apart from a proper response to Jesus, the Son of God. Satan, the enemy of God and man, works night and day to distract us from hearing, understanding, and obeying the King of all the earth. Satan directs our attention to all the illusory golden trinkets, all the vain alternatives that take our minds away from Christ. As it is today, so it was during the days of the first century church that belonged to Jesus. An effort then was ongoing to prompt Christians to take their eyes off Jesus. The writer to the Hebrew brethren made appeal after appeal to them. He showed them the folly of forsaking Christ and returning to the religion of their fathers, to go back to Moses and the Old Covenant. The writer of Hebrews challenged his brethren in the following passage, in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then notice in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thayer defines this word, looking, the Greek word that it is rendered there, to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. Strong defines it as to consider attentively. So you and I need to focus our eyes upon Jesus, the Son of God. Thanks so much for listening to this issue of A Word Between Friends and Gospel Gazette Online. May God bless you in your continued study of His Word.